True love always hopes, even in the face of failure. If that's true, then Skip Heitzig has an important question for you.
Who has let you down? Who has failed you? You can think of at least one person. Maybe you have a running list. I don't know. But who in your eyes has failed? A child has backslidden, or a child has left the family. You haven't heard from that son or daughter for years. A spouse is in the midst of leaving you, spurning your love, very insensitive towards you, refuses to come to church, refuses to come to Christ. A friend has backstabbed you. You know, I think that we give up far too quickly. We write people off. Oh, that's a hopeless cause. Hopeless case. Not when you love them.
Make the connection.
I'm sure that most of you didn't like taking exams when you were in school. However, take-home exams were somewhat less intimidating, weren't they? Now, I don't know if it was because of the comfortable surroundings at home or the fact that the answers could be looked up, but there was just something less formidable about take-home exams. Well, today in The Connection, we'll find out from Skip Heitzig that we all have an exam that we take home with us every day. The question is, are you passing or failing? Now, stay with us to find out more right after we share a few gift ideas for Christmas, which, by the way, is just a week away. That means today's the last day you can order, and be sure to get your order in time for Christmas Day. Here's more about that.
In 1986, a drought caused the waters of the Sea of Galilee to recede, revealing one of the great New Testament archaeological discoveries.
Here we have something that takes us right back to the time of Jesus.
There in the dried up seabed, two brothers discovered the remains of a boat that dated back to the time of Jesus Christ.
We couldn't ask for more. We got here a boat from the times of Jesus. I mean, it's something the whole world is waiting for.
As this boat slipped beneath the waves of the Sea of Galilee, the nation Israel was sliding off the pages of history. The Jesus Boat Revealed takes you on a video journey of these stories, an ancient boat that would not stay buried, and the nation Israel that could not remain lost. Skip Heitzig takes you on a journey through history and reveals how the past and present collide in this remarkable discovery. This DVD is available this Christmas for just $19. The Jesus Boat Revealed is a one-hour documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig and featuring Franklin Graham.
For the whole Arab world to turn on them, and very few people stood with them at that time.
Tim LaHaye, Ehud Barak, and many other expert interviews. Order the Jesus Boat Revealed documentary for Christmas at a special price of just $19. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or order from the Christmas catalog, available online at connectionradio.org.
So get your order in post-haste here at The Connection. That's at connectionradio.org or by calling 1-800-922-1888, or you can write us at The Connection anytime. That's P.O. Box 95707. Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. So how well are you passing the test of love? As with most exams, it probably depends on how well you've studied. Stay tuned for more here on The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into
Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he helps us prepare for one of life's most important tests.
What about Peter? Jesus never accepted Peter's failure as final. Remember that night when Jesus probably put his arm around Peter and said, "Peter, before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times." "Oh, Lord, how could you say such a thing? Remember, I'm the rock. Everybody else may flake out on you, but can count on me." "No, Peter, you're going to deny me." "Lord, you don't know me." "Oh, yes, I do, Peter. That's why I say, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. Then he said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you have returned, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Jesus predicted his failure and his return with love. And then after Jesus rose from the dead, you remember, he went to Peter on the shores of Galilee and said, Peter, do you love me?
Yeah, Lord, I love you.
Well, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. He recommissioned him. He never accepted the failure as final. That's love. Love hopes. Hopes all things. When Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians and rebuked them for their lack of love for one another, he still held out hope. Now, here's my question for you. Who has let you down? Who has failed you? You can think of at least one person. Maybe you have a running list. I don't know. But who in your eyes has failed? A child has backslidden, or a child has left the family. You haven't heard from that son or daughter for years. A spouse is in the midst of leaving you, spurning your love, very insensitive towards you, refuses to come to church, refuses to come to Christ. A friend has backstabbed you. You know, I think that we give up far too quickly. We write people off. Oh, that's a hopeless cause, hopeless case. Not when you love them. I want to tell you a story. I'm going to read it to you. It's in a book from, the author is Lee Strobel. The book is entitled What Jesus Would Say. And this is a story that he writes about Bob McAllister, who's a volunteer for prison fellowship, went to death row to visit an inmate. The inmate was named Rusty Woomer. Here's the story. Rusty, his face the color of chalk, was sitting on the floor motionless. Dozens of roaches covered the wall and the floor. But what froze my soul were the roaches crawling on the man, his lap, his shoulder, and his face. And he did not even flick them off. This 35-year-old murderer of four innocent people had sunk to the depths of hopelessness. Bob wasn't sure how to react to this depressing scene. Finally, he pleaded, Rusty, Rusty, just say the name Jesus. Slowly and painfully, with all of the effort he could muster, the nearly comatose inmate whispered the name of the Savior of the world. And then Bob began to explain to him how Jesus is the God of hope. It was clear that Rusty was paying attention. At the end, when Bob asked if he wanted to accept Christ's offer of forgiveness, Rusty nodded. Through his tears, he prayed, Jesus, I've hurt a lot of people. Ain't no way that I deserve you to hear me, but I'm tired, I'm sick, and I'm lonely. Please forgive me, Jesus, for everything I've done. I don't know much about you, but I'm willing to learn. And I thank you for listening to me. Bob returned the following week, and he said, I walked up to his cell. It was spotless. Gone were the dirt, gone were the roaches, and the porno magazines. The walls were scrubbed, the bed was made, the scent of disinfectant hung in the air, and Rusty himself was smiling and enthusiastic. Bob, he said, I spent all weekend cleaning out my cell because I figured that's what Jesus wanted me to do. There's a hopeless case. But Bob held out a spark of hope. Just say the name of Jesus. Let's just start there. And because love hopes all things, salvation came out of that spark. Beautiful story. Fourth, how committed is your love? For he says love endures all things. Now, the word that Paul chose to use in this little sentence is hupomeno. Hupomeno. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you have heard me use the word hupomone, which is the noun form of this. Hupomone is translated usually patience or endurance. Hupomeno was a military term of an army who was sieging another city. And the army would hold its position at all costs. It would dig in for the long haul. In fact, maybe when Paul wrote this, he was thinking of the way the Roman army worked. You can still see remnants of that today. When you visit Masada and you stand on top, you see a Roman wall, the ruins of it, that went all the way around the fortress. That's how Rome worked. They would come in and spend years, if need be, to conquer a city. They'd build a wall around it. They'd build walls around several camps. And they'd stay there for months or years, not letting anybody out of the city or into the city, starving them slowly to death, crushing their spirits, then they'd attack. Hupameno, holding your position. Here's this point. Love will hunker down, maintain its course, and not be deterred under any opposition. Love endures all things. You want an example of that in the New Testament? Stephen. Stephen, in the book of Acts, stands before the Jewish Sanhedrin giving his testimony. He loved them. He loved the Jewish people. And in a face-off, he's telling them about the Savior and God's plan in the Old Testament. And how did those people react to Stephen? They taunted him, derided him, cursed at him, and threw stones at him. And they killed him. And while stones are pelting his body, you see, those stones weren't enough to stop his love. As those stones were hitting his body, Stephen prayed out loud, "Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge." That's love. His love endured. Now, I'd like to apply that to us, to two different situations. One to marriage, two to our church. Marriage, because we all need that. Church, because we all need that. How many marriages do you know that really display enduring love? Enduring love. So often when I stand at this position with a couple and I say the vows slowly and deliberately, I often feel that young couples don't hear all the vows. So I'll say them slowly, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. And I often get the feeling that some young couples only hear half. They hear better, they hear richer, and they hear health. That's about it. And with some couples, and it's pretty obvious by looking around, have this tacit, unspoken understanding that, well, we're going steady, kind of more permanently. But if things change, if you get ugly, if I get ugly, then we'll call it quits. A young teenager was looking at her grandmother's wedding ring, and she said, she noticed how thick and cumbersome it was. She says, "Man, Grandma, 50 years ago, they sure made these things bulky." And Grandma said, "Yeah, that's because in my day, they were meant to last a lifetime." Love endures all things. Love endures financial hardships in a marriage, when the money isn't quite what it should be, even to pay the bills. Love will endure that. Love endures the child-rearing years when sacrifices must be made and attention is diverted from the spouse to the child. Love will endure the empty nest years when after a lifetime of getting used to raising the children, you just have each other. Love will endure that. Love will endure the long, cold, hard years of old age, when there are more pills than there are thrills. When it's hard, it's tough, it's painful. Love endures all things. Now let's look at it in a church context. Because after all, the Corinthians were not enduring with each other. They were splitting over the worst kind of issues. This is not an age. The year 2001, this is not an age of enduring love among church members. One of the reasons for that is because there are so many churches in any given town that if you don't treat me the way I think I ought to be treated, I'll just find another church. Well, that's really enduring. See, in the early church, there was one church in Corinth. There weren't any others. Paul says, you got to stick it out. You got to work it through. Love endures all things. There's a store over in England in the town of Nottingham. I was through that city a few months ago. It's a coat store, and there's a notice on the window. This is what it reads. We've been established for over 100 years and have been pleasing and displeasing customers ever since. We've made money, we've lost money, we've suffered the effects of coal nationalization, coal rationing, government control, and bad payers. We have been cussed and discussed, messed about, lied to, held up, robbed, and swindled. And the only reason we stay in business is to see what happens next. There's a very realistic store owner who knew that life will have bumps in the road. But you know what? Let's just hang on. We've done it this long. Let's see what happens next. If for no other reason. And because love endures all things based upon hope that comes before it, faith, hope, then endurance, you hang on just to see what God's going to do next. Who knows? Nothing is impossible. Fifth and finally, how lasting is your love? Verse 8 has a whole thought. We'll uncover the rest next week. But look at those first three words. It forms a simple sentence. Love never fails. Now Paul ties all of the previous thoughts together into one package. He moves from time into eternity, from the temporal to the eternal. He says, love never fails. Now, never, he's speaking of time, not frequency. He's not saying, if you love somebody, you'll never have a lapse in your love. That's unrealistic. He's simply saying that love has staying power. Love is not a temporary emotion. It is a permanent decision. It's a permanent decision, not a temporary emotion. Love never fails, or literally, love never falls. The Greek word pipto speaks of a flower that has the petals fall off. It decays, it withers. The leaves fall. Love never falls. Love endures. Love is eternal. And the thought he's trying to get to this Corinthian church is, your God is eternal. God made you to inhabit eternity. So your love must somehow reflect part of that eternal nature. You're going to carry love into all of eternity. Now, I can hear the wheels spinning a bit because I have heard those wheels spinning many times in my office. I've sat down with friends or business relations or married couples or parents and children. And I've heard things like, Skip, I feel like my love is just dead. I don't feel the same toward this person as I used to feel. And I listen carefully and I count all the times I hear the word feel. And I gently but forthrightly say, so what? Love isn't a feeling. If there's one thing we have learned in this series of messages, love is a commitment, a decision, not a feeling. I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to close off with this paragraph. Written by C.S. Lewis, he wrote Mere Christianity, and in that book, Mere Christianity, is a little paragraph that I think is freeing. Especially when we say, I got to feel, I don't feel the same. Listen carefully. Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you'll find yourself disliking him more. If you do him a good turn, you'll find yourself disliking him less. You know why that's freeing? It shows us that choice is the engine, feeling is the caboose. Feelings will follow the engine, the choice. But if you make emotion the engine, you'll be starting and stopping your whole life, derailing most of the time. Act as if you did. Now, at the beginning, I mentioned that love is a difficult course in the curriculum. And I said that I'd share with you at least one reason why love is so difficult for some people. There's some people who just don't seem to be able to show love to anyone. Very difficult for them. I want to give you a reason, at least one. In the New Testament, Jesus was invited to a man's house. He was a Pharisee. His name was Simon. Jesus was like a celebrity. He was having this celebrity over for dinner. And Simon had it all picture perfect in his mind how the evening was going to go until a woman slipped in the courtyard who was a notorious sinner in town. She spoiled the party. She came over to Jesus, started crying, weeping on his feet and drying his feet with her hair. And Simon the Pharisee thought, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of chick this is. He wouldn't have any part of this. So Jesus turns to Simon, gives him a little parable, and this is how he ends. Simon, her sins, and I know they are many, have been forgiven. Now listen. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. One of the reasons some people have such a hard time loving is they've never been forgiven. They've never really come to Christ and humbled themselves and admitted, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Because when you do that, when you humble yourself before God, you see yourself for who you really are and you find that God's forgiveness covers a multitude of sins. You look at people differently. You love people differently. So maybe this morning, as you ponder your own life, you'd have to realize, I've never received God's love. Remember the little kid who said, when his parents came back from Palm Sunday, great, the one day I don't show up, Jesus shows up. Let me tell you something, Jesus has shown up here this morning. He's in our midst. Two or three have gathered in his name. He has shown the bright spotlight of Scripture in every heart. And with some, he is saying with loving chords, come to me, give me your life, quit hiding behind the facade of I'm a good person, I go to church, I've always believed. Humble yourself and be forgiven. Truly give me your life and surrender.
Well, the best way to pass the test of love is to accept God's love for you. Let it flood into your heart as you accept Him, and then that love will flow out to others in a torrent of living water that can change lives. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but before we go, here are a few more last-minute ideas to fill up stockings or to bless a loved one with this Christmas. However, you need to order today if you want to have it delivered in time for Christmas.
During the holiday season, it can be tough to find time for the very reason we celebrate this season, Jesus Christ.
The way God loves me, that's how I'm going to love you, Jesus says. This rich, beautiful relationship.
Don't let the busyness of the holidays squeeze out your time with Christ. Lenya Heidzik and Penny Pierce Rose have a series of Bible studies called the Fresh Life Series that only take just 20 minutes a day and will take you deeper into the truths of God's Word. This Christmas, you can get the entire collection of all four study guides for $45. Plus, get Lenya's book, Holy Moments, as a bonus.
Generally, we go for a relationship, whereas it tends to be that men will say, well, I'm a banker, or, you know, whatever it is. It's what I do that defines me. But I find that for women, it's who we love that define us.
Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org to order all four books for just $45. These studies will provide encouragement and blessings long after the warm glow of Christmas has faded. Plus, explore other great gift ideas such as the DVD edition of Israel, Learning from the Land with Skip Heidzik, or the Explorer's Bible, New King James Version for Kids. You'll find all of these gifts and more in this year's Connection Christmas Catalog. Go to connectionradio.org to find out more or give us a call at 1-800-922-1888.
Well, today is the last day you can order and be guaranteed that it'll be there in time for Christmas. So be sure to check out our Christmas catalog today at connectionradio.org. Also, we wouldn't be able to bring you these daily teachings from Skip without your help. And even if you can only give this one time, that would be a big blessing.
As we approach the end of the year, I wonder if you'd consider supporting the Connection. That means you'll be part of spreading the solid Bible teaching you hear on this program around the country and around the world. This could simply be a one-time donation or something more ongoing, like a monthly donation. Here's the contact information you'll need. I hope you'll take action today to support the Connection.
So think about it, and then give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. 1888, or stop by our website at connectionradio.org.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make the connection.
Next time, we'll bring our journey on the Royal Road of Love to a conclusion. So join us as we take one more look at how we can keep a loving heart as our greatest priority. Here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.